Hebrews 11. We'll pray in a minute. Well, this is a day. Hebrews 11, 8 through 12. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for our time together to be with brothers and sisters. And now, Lord, we pray our hearts and minds are open for your Spirit. May your Spirit enter into us, work in us, speak to us, and transform us more into your image. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Abraham, Father Abraham, right, is a monumental figure in the Christian faith. And I think that even saying monumental figure, I think saying that superlative does not do the Abrahamic story justice. It's like if I were to say Hank Aaron was a great baseball player. No, he was the greatest baseball player. If I were to say that Bob Dylan was just a poet, come on, guys. Like, the greatest poet, right? Those kind of things. Like, I'm not sure the superlative quite does Abraham justice by just saying a monumental figure. I mean, Paul writes in the book of Romans this, that he is the father of all of us. The faith of Abraham for Paul stands as our example. We are, all of us in here today, heirs of the promise of Abraham, because we too, as the Hebrew writer will say, can share in the faith of Abraham. So what is it about the faith of Abraham? The Hebrew writer, as he's writing, says this about Abraham's faith, as we've just read in 11:8. He set out not knowing where he was going. He left everything. And I don't think we realize just what that means, that Abraham left everything in Haran. All of his identity was wrapped in that place. It was who he was as a person. He had lived his entire life in that part of the world, in that area. The call that we read in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses, the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This call that we read in Genesis sets in motion a decision for Abraham, a decision that we read in Genesis 12, 1. Get up and leave your father's place. Get up and leave everything you've known. And I'm not sure we realize just how difficult a decision that would be for him. I think most of us, when we read the passage in Genesis, right, when we read the Abraham story, we just expect Abraham to get up and go. Do we not? I mean, we've read it so much, it's just like, it would be weird if you read in the next verse and Abraham didn't go. And we don't expect that. However, for the first-time reader of the Abraham story, the call of the Lord to Abraham might catch us off guard. For the first-time reader. For those of us who are used to being where we are, right? We know our place. Why would Abraham leave everything he knew and go to something a little bit more risky and a little bit more unknown? I mean, Haran is his country. It is his entitlement. It is his family. Haran was the known commodity for him. It took nothing for him to wake up each day and know what was going on and what would be happening around him, right? You wake up every day, you know what's going to happen, you know who you're going to see, you understand the entire kind of field in front of you. Haran is the assuredness of the known. Abraham could be content with being just another person in a place. It's that easy. And that's the thing about God's call as we begin to read. It never comes at the most opportune time. God's call is never a convenient thing. Abraham in his comfortable place. Abraham knowing what was in front of him and behind him. And yet the Hebrew writer writes, what is the substance of faith? It is a hope in that thing in which we cannot see. It is something moving inside of us that says, there's something more out there. Even though I can't see it, even though I can't touch it, it's out there. It's this moving on the inside. And that's when we realize that Abraham could have stayed right where he was. He could have. He could have stayed in his culture and his family and his privilege. He knew what he had. He could touch it. He could control it. That which Abraham could see, now that's something to hold on to. That which we can see, that which we know, that's something worth holding on to. That which gave Abraham identity, all of his dad's stuff, all of his stuff that he had in Haran, that stuff gave him his meaning. That's worth holding on to. And I know you get it because I get it. Don't discount the beauty of just being comfortable, right? Just being comfortable. I mean, comfort is nice. There is security in comfort. The status quo is just that. It is the status quo. Everyone getting along. No one rocking the boat, because let's be honest, who really likes people who rock the boat? Getting along just to get along. Let me tell you, the cliches are endless here. We know them all. When everything is going well, why would anybody want a disruption? Plus, to control our life, and this is a big one, to control our life means that we're kind of the creators of life. If we can control it, we can create all the possibilities. You and I have the power, not someone else, and we like that idea, do we not? We like to know that the power rests with us. That's the beauty of comfort. That's the beauty of self-control, status quo. We have control of the situation, or we think we do. But that's not this story. According to the Hebrew writer, that's not what we're reading here. Abraham looked at everything he had. He looked at everything he had and what was to come. And notice what it says in verse 11. He had all of this stuff and yet still decided to leave. Abraham decided to leave. And as one writer states, Abraham was looking into the abyss of non-being as he contemplated his own body, already as good as dead, and the barrenness of Sarah's womb, which is what Paul says in verse 19. He did not weaken in faith, is what Paul says, when he considered his own body, and I like how Paul says this, which was as good as dead, because, you know, he's about 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. Looking at all that. Looking at all that he had, and Abraham went instead of stayed. Verse 4 of chapter 12, right? The writer says, here was this blessing, here was this promise, and Abraham went. Everything Abraham had accumulated seemed to have faded into the background to the promise, God's word. A word, that's all it took. A word and a promise. And this, all of this I've said, is what faith is to the Hebrew writer. Faith is the courage to take a step into the hope of a promise. It is seeing everything around you that the world has to offer. Power, prestige, wealth, identity. Everything the world has to offer. All of those things, all of those attributes that are supposed to make you who you are in the world. The things that give you identity and meaning. All of that that gives you purpose. And if we're honest with ourselves right now, these are the things in which we put our hope. We put our hope in money. We put our hope in jobs. We put our hope in family. We put our hope in culture. We put our hope in nation. And whatever else you want to say, I had a real snarky comment, Richard, but I kept it out. We attach ourselves to these hooks, hoping that they will pay us off in the end, do we not? That these things will pay us off in the end. And in that moment, when Abraham heard the words spoken to him by God, all of that stuff seemed to fade away. He saw himself through the lens of those things which he had attached his hope, and he saw himself as good as dead. What is it that Jesus says about moth and rust? You remember that? What is it that Jesus says about those things that we put our hope in where moth and rust can destroy? Abraham had in Haran been living on the trust of those things and realized his fate with those things and went. And there was nothing easy about any of this, because Abraham would be displacing his faith from the stuff he knew, from the stuff he understood, to something beyond himself. He was going from faith in himself, in Abraham as the creator, to faith in the creator. While this move seems easy for us who know the story, there would be nothing easy about this move. Abraham would go from trusting in himself and what he knew to the unknown. Abraham was placing his hands. Get this, I love this picture. Abraham was placing his hands in God's hands and letting God go ahead of him. And that's a big move. That is a trusting move. When we place our hands into another's hands and allow them to lead, there may not be anything more vulnerable than that. We are announcing to the other whose hand we are holding our vulnerability in the moment. We become fully dependent on the other, fully dependent on God. And yet that is exactly what Abraham did. He let go of the temporal, of all the stuff he knew, the earthly things. He looked beyond to the spiritual, as the Hebrew writer says, to that unseen city. But in doing so, Abraham had to trust God's promise, a promise he couldn't see, a promise he couldn't touch, a promise rooted in something beyond himself, a promise that would be eternal. This promise, God says, will outlive you. A promise that Abraham would attach his hope, and that hope would sustain him for each day as he put one foot in front of the other into the unknown lands. It's not too dissimilar to what all of us have done at one time. We have placed our hands into the hand of another and asked them to lead us, to show us the way. New parents, we realize this, we're reminded of this. Our children, as they attempt to navigate the world, will place their hand in your hand and trust you to help them figure this world out. Our children witness in our hand the trustworthiness of our promises. Just as Abraham looked to God and the promises of God's word that he would one day be a father of nations and his ancestors would be greater than the stars, Abraham saw the promises of God in a new way, as a new way forward for him and his ancestors. And what we see in Abraham's trust in holding God's hand, was that he became the pioneer into an uncharted territory of God's promises. What we see in Abraham is the pioneer of faith, the one in which says he can grab a hand and do it. Maybe so can we. The Hebrew writer believes that in Abraham, all of us witness what it means to be dependent upon God's good abundance. It is all Abraham had every day. Every day, Abraham and Sarah trusted that God would see them through that day, that God would continue to work towards God's promises to them. And that's the thing about faith, as we see in Abraham. It is a total trust that God will keep God's promises, is it not? When our children put their hand in our hand, it is a total trust that we will keep the promises that we made to our children from the beginning of the day. And from this, Abraham became a stranger, a wanderer, fully depending upon the grace of God. And what we can see as time passed is that Isaac was born. Abraham got a little bit of glimpse into the promise, a taste of what is to come. The Hebrew writer reminds us of something else about faith. Faith seems to play the long game, not the short game. The life of faith is not a short-term thing, but it's a lifelong journey. And what do I mean? Well, as many of us know about the story of Abraham, there's that little uncomfortable story of Abraham and Isaac in a mountain and, hey, you know, a lamb will provide kind of thing. It can be a little uncomfortable if you're reading with your kid. But the Hebrew writer seems to focus on how the testing of Abraham's faith did not cause him to lose hope. Even though losing Isaac meant losing the promise, Abraham's faith allowed him to hold fast to the vision of God when all would seem lost. It allowed him to say to Isaac, God will provide a lamb. I was reminded this week about this kind of hopeful vision of faith. Every year, and you know I wasn't here last Sunday, every year a group of my college roommates get together for a little retreat. We remember, we laugh, and we even cry together. It's just what it is nowadays, but we have come to talk more and more about the stresses of life, the stresses of family, the stresses of work. And one of my buddies was telling us a story about such stresses, but he ended it with this. With all this going on, every morning, he sits in the quiet and he repeats, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. Abraham's faith journey is a witness to, even if he didn't know at the time, his journey is a witness to, my grace is sufficient for you. Faith is a deep journey into us taking hold of God's hand. And as Miroslav Volf will say in his book, to be a child of Abraham and Sarah and to respond to the call of their God means to make an exodus, to start a voyage, to become a stranger. My grace is sufficient for you. The journey of faith, like Abraham, is dislocating and trusting at the same time. It is constantly relying on God's grace to help us, to give us eyes to see like Abraham saw. It gives us the energy, and maybe it's even courage, to go forth each and every day. My grace is sufficient for you. It is a life that is not quite sure of how God's going to do it. Just like Abraham, we're not sure what this life is going to completely look like. I wish I could tell the parents, these new parents, I can tell you how it's going to look for your kid. I can't. And that's one of the hardest things. Because as our children put their hands in our hands, we as adults put our hand in God's hands and say, my grace is sufficient for you. We don't control it. Faith, though, sees through the temporal and gives eyes to see that God will keep God's promises. Faith says every day, my grace is sufficient for you. Every day, no matter the testing or the blessing, our eyes are refined to a better vision of God's future. Never looking back, but always looking forward. And every day waking up saying, my grace is sufficient for you. And in saying that, like Abraham, we can leave all the temporal stuff behind, all the things that we put hope in, all the things where moth and rust destroy. And we can look forward to the city whose foundations, as the writer will say later, is in the Lamb that saves all of us, which is Jesus. My grace is sufficient for you. If you have any needs this morning, we'll have elders down front. I'll be down front. We have people sitting next to you who will listen to you and pray with you. But come now as we stand and as we sing.